Good morning. I am from Liberia, and since you Americans have accent, you will have to listen carefully to hear me. So, but I'll do my best to be clear so you can hear me. Today I've decided to share with us what I call the hour has come to wake up. A little bit about myself. Liberia is a country in West Africa. Liberia was founded by a society that was an organization that was started here in America. When the slaves were free, some people wanted to go back, and this organization, supported by the government, took some people back to Africa, and Liberia was founded there, and that's how it became a nation, the first independent nation in Africa in 1847. I am from Liberia, and I'm from the north of Liberia. I grew up in a primitive African village. My dad had 10 wives. I said that somewhere, and one woman said, oh, I know my husband would like that. So, but, yeah, it's not fun. My dad had 10 wives, and I grew up with 10 mothers. I couldn't call anybody stepmom. I call everybody mom. And so I grew up in a society where our house was always crowded. There were always kids, you know, bumping into each other, fighting and doing everything. At the age of 7, the grace of God came into my life, and I came to know about Jesus, and I became saved. And since that time, God has been leading my life in an amazing way. I have shared a little bit of that in my book, and if you have time, I just want to get some money to reprint more. So anything you've led to give, you can do it. If you don't have it, you can take a copy. So that's a little bit of my background. My dad had 36 children, and we were all growing up just in Liberia and where we were. When I became a Christian, I didn't know any, I couldn't read or write, I couldn't speak English, I had no idea what God Almighty was all about, but I was just glad that Jesus saved me. He was a personal friend to me as I saw him and my God. And one day a Jeep came and stopped by our house, and 3 white people came out of it. I was excited to see white people first time. So we went over to see what they were doing, and they brought out boxes. And I was curious to see what's in the box, a gift or something, and they took out a little pocket-sized book, and somebody explained to us that this is the New Testament, the Bible, God's Word. And I was just thrilled to have God's Word in my hand. I couldn't read it, I didn't know what it says, but God Almighty Word was in my hands. So I ran home, I kept it in the attic, in a place where nobody could reach it. I didn't want anybody to treat it unholy, so I kept it in a special place. I would forget about it for months. Every time I remember, I ran up, I dust it off, and put it back there. That's how I treated God's Word. And somebody taught us John 3:16. I learned it. I could quote it, but I didn't know what it meant, and I didn't even know what I was saying to write. So one day in the village, among my friends, I was trying to show off, hey, quoting John 3:16. And then someone asked me, what does that mean? I knew I was getting into trouble. I had no idea what it meant. I said, what does that mean? I said, oh, it means good things. Yeah, but what good things does it mean? Well, good things, because it's the word of Almighty God. Yeah, but what does it say? What are you saying? I had no idea. So they mocked me, and I cried. I ran home. It was then that I prayed, God, I want to know what is in your word. Please teach me and show me. It was that year, the following year, my father sent us to school. And thank God I'm able to read God's word. The hour has come to wake up. Are we sleeping at all? Are we slumbering? Well, this is for Christians. If you have, there are places where it's difficult for kids to pray in public schools. Some public areas, you're not free to talk about God or display Bibles. Churches are ordaining bishops that are gay or transgender and so forth. What does the Bible say about these things? If we are seeing these things happening, are we not sleeping? I believe, yes, we are sleeping. But the hour has come to wake up from our sleep. Now, what is causing the sleep? There are gazillion reasons, but I will just zero in on one. And that's Matthew 24:12. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall grow cold. Because of wickedness, because of sin, God's love in our hearts will grow cold. This is one of the things that will cause us to sleep. When God's love in our heart grow cold. Now, what happens when God's love grow cold in our heart? Many things happen. But let me zero in on two as well. One, people will not be willing to step out of their comfort zone. Because, hey, love for God is cold. People will not be willing to step out of their comfort zone. Two, people will be willing to compromise godly value for your own comfort. These are two things that will happen when we begin to compromise, when God's love grows cold in our heart. But the good news is that not everyone will experience that whole love. The Bible says the people who know their God will stand firm. That's the good news. Now, we're going to look at an example from in this. Let's look at Daniel's example, the story of Daniel. When love grows cold in people's heart, they're not willing to stand. But when your love does not grow cold and you're willing to stand for God, you can stand for God no matter what the situation. But it will start with the little things. The little things in your life, in your personal life, it will start with that. If you stand that, the Bible says, if you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in big things. You have to decide it. Daniel 1:8. The Bible said Daniel purposed in his heart. So you have to deal with it from your heart. If you deal with it between you and God, you can stand in the little things and you will stand in the big things. When Daniel and his friends were taken to Babylon to be as prisoners, somehow they were taken to the king's palace because they were wise. The king was looking for wise men to be with his, to be part of his wise men. Daniel and his friends came to a challenge. They were serving the king's food to them, which, being Jewish, they knew it was unclean. Now, this guy had all the reason in the world to tell God why they should eat the food. God, if you really wanted me to serve you, you shouldn't have allowed me to come here. As I was serving you faithfully in Jerusalem, but you let me be captured. I'm a slave here. I don't have my will here. I don't have my choice. This is not a democracy. This is the government's rule. And this is a dictator. I can't refuse their food. But Daniel purposed in his heart. He and this guy said, look, listen, we can't eat this food. And the chef said, look, if you don't, I am in trouble. I could lose my life. That was easier to compromise. You know what? Okay, God, you have to understand. I have to love my brother for the sake of his life. And let me eat this food so he doesn't lose his life. No compromise. He said, look, we're not going to eat this food. You know what? But we're going to be reasonable with you. Give us 10 days. 10 days? What difference does it make in 10 days? Yeah, 10 days. He gave them 10 days. It worked. If you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in big things. When the king brought a god that the people should serve, these three guys came and they were reported to the king, they're not worshiping your god. And the king came, okay, I heard you're not doing it. You know what? I'm going to give you one more chance. Stay. I'm going to play all the music. When you hear it, bow. And they said, listen, we don't need to be careful about this. We have been faithful in the little things. We have dealt with it from our hearts. We know the God whom we serve. The Bible said the people who know their God will stand firm. They will resist. They will take action. They said, we don't need to judge out to be careful about this. We're not going to worship your God, no matter what you do. The God whom we serve, he is able to save us. But even if he does not, just know we're not going to bow to your God. They are talking to the most powerful man on the surface of the earth. This is not a democracy. There's no legislature to impeach him. His word has the power of life and death. They defy him. Why? Because there's a God greater than you, more than they knew this man. If you are faithful in the little thing, it was just food. Food. We're not going to compromise. And God is glorified. Today we have an amazing story. These men were thrown into fire 7 times hot. The men that threw them into the fire died. They walk out unharmed. That's the power of God. If you stand firm, you know the God, you stand firm for him, you God will be glorified. I saw that in my life. The civil war started in my country, in Liberia. We had a civil war from 1989 to 2003. Somewhere before the war got to the city, it started at the border with one country, and the rebels were advancing and coming until they got to the city. Just when they got to the city, before they captured our area, they have turned off electricity and everything. The food there we had in the refrigerator was, getting rotten because the power was gone. So we fried some, prepared some in a way that we could preserve it for a little while. But the rest of it was spoiling, like juice, milk. We were trying to finish this before the spoil. We were eating. I was growing fat. Just eating. And one morning, I got up to have my devotion, and God told me, fast. God, this can't be God. How can I fast in the midst of this kind of food? Besides, it's going to get rotten if we don't eat it. So why fast? Maybe this can't be from God. God is wise. It's a sin to throw food away. God knows that. Especially in a place where you can't find it. So, I shouldn't throw this food. Let me eat. But God was clear. Fast. Fast for 3 days. No water. No food. Day and night. Nothing. Say, I have never done this before, God. I have fasted even 3 days. But I break the fast in the night. How can I go straight 3 days when I have never done it once in my life? God would not tell me to do these things. In the end, I knew it was God. I went ahead and fasted. At the end of the fast, 2-3 days later, the rebels got into our area. We were living in a house that was belonging to a member of our church who has gone for vacation. He was a wealthy man. His house was surrounded by a concrete wall about 10 feet high. And it was, you couldn't see anything from outside. This is where we were when the rebels came. He was a Nigerian. Nigeria is another country in West Africa. And the Nigerian government was helping our government to fight against the rebels. So the rebels didn't like Nigeria. If they capture an area and they see Nigerian, they're going to kill everybody. So the rebels came into the area. And somebody went and told them, they are keeping professional soldiers in that house. It's a Nigerian house. That's why it's so protected and so forth. And these guys sent over 20 gunmen, well armed with automatic machine guns, grenades on their side, rocket launchers, and they came and surrounded the house, trying to see if there are soldiers in here. We were on it too. That morning we got done with devotion. We were sitting behind the house thinking. And we were thinking, come Holy Spirit, I need you. Come sweet Spirit, I pray. Come in your sweetness and power. And come in your own gentle way. Little did we know that the Spirit of God was already there. We were, before we ended the chorus, we heard bullet ripping the roof. Bah, 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 bah. Who is in the house? I had no idea what was happening. I galloped and began to walk towards where the shooting was coming from. Yeah, we are in the house. Who are we? Oh, I called my name. Yala and Brother Anthony. Come. So, yeah, I'm coming. Don't go to the gate. Jump over the wall. What? I'm this tall, 10 feet wall. How am I going to jump over that? So, how am I going to jump over that? But when a man has a gun and he tells you do this, you don't have a lot of choices. So, fortunately, a section of the house was close to the wall. I got on the stairs of that, the porch, got on and jumped, grabbed the top of the fence and pulled myself up. As I was going up, the commander of the rebels instructed one of his boys, as soon as he get up there, go and spray him with bullet, let him fall dead in the face. So as I got up, this guy ran under me and he pointed the gun this close. I wanted to move the gun so I could jump down, but if I had taking hold of the gun, it would appear that I want to fight for the gun. So I decided to wait until he lowered it. He had a gun that close, automatic machine gun, he pulled the trigger. More than 10 bullets vomited out of that gun into my chest. Not a single shot touched me. Not a single shot touched me. When the gun was empty, he lowered it to reload. I jumped down from the wall and landed and he ran. And they were all standing at a distance asking me, what make you bulletproof? How did you get bulletproof? Me? Bulletproof? I'm not bulletproof. Don't lie to us. You think we are stupid? You think we can't tell? You think we didn't know what happened? We saw what happened. Tell us where you got your bulletproof. Everybody wanted this power because they were fighting. Then they would be invincible to bullets. That's what they were asking me. And the commander turned around. He was asking me, you know, so I turned around to go to the commander and explain to him that we're not soldiers. We're Christians. I was going, hey, don't come. He was running away. Nobody would come close to me. They still had a machine gun. They still had a grenade, rocket launchers on their shoulder. And as I walked towards them, they would be running away. This is the power of God. If you're willing to stand for God, God will be glorified. 3 months later, I met a commander somewhere, and he was afraid of me. He was touching me to see if I am human. But I was in there, I was talking, and nobody was listening. So I turned around, I was talking to one of them, and then one of them ran behind me. He kicked me, I fell, and they all came running and grabbed me and tied me. They beat me in the back of my head until I went unconscious. They opened the gate, got in, and searched the house. No soldiers. I was lying down unconscious when I regained consciousness. I realized my hands were tied behind me. I couldn't breathe good. As I lie there, they're going around shooting all over the place. And I knew, am I going to die? I wanted to quote Psalm 23 and so forth to, you know, ask for God's deliverance. But the scripture God brought to my mind was Proverbs 21:1. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And like the direction of water, he can turn it wherever he wants to. I kept saying that. I didn't know why I was saying it. And when they came out of the house, the commander called. Some of the other group had come who heard the commotion. So the commander told them, hey, those of you who don't believe that bullet can do anything to this guy, come and see. And a group of them ran out of the house again. I was still lying on the porch. He took the machine gun and he pointed it in my face the second time. But this time, before he pulled the trigger, one of them stepped out of the house and said, hey, leave this guy, let's go. No, I can't do it. I have to kill this guy. He's a traitor. he's working with Nigerians, and I got to kill him. As he was yelling and talking, he went suddenly quiet. And he turned to the for him to stop. Hey, why are you telling me not to kill this guy? So, well, don't ask me. You should know me for killing people. And I can tell you, stop, don't kill this guy. And you are arguing, go ahead and kill him. And then he turned around, he looked at me. He walked slowly to me and he squatted. He said, you know what? Since we started this fight, this guy has never begged for anyone to be released. For him to beg for you, I just realized that if I touch you again, I'm not even saying hurt you. If I touch you again, I'll be signing my own death warrant. I don't want to die. Cut the rope. They cut the rope from my hand. They took their things and they left. This is the power of God. This is the glory of God. And this is why I'm always excited. I'm always looking for opportunities. Whether it's one person, two person, 100 person, I want to tell you what the power of God can do. What the glory of God can do. If you are faithful in the little thing, if you learn not to compromise, if you step out of your comfort zone. I didn't want to fast. Daniel and his friends, they knew they should not compromise. Don't compromise. Don't rationalize anything. If you stand for God, God will display His glory in your life. This country is going to a position where Christians will have to make decisions. Serious decision. And you're going to make that decision if you learn to stand now in the little things, in the things of your heart. That is my message today. The Bible says in Job 22:11, acquaint now yourself with the Lord and be at peace. If you think about all the things that will happen if you stand as a Christian, acquaint now yourself with Him and be at peace, and good will come to you. What are you compromising? What is your comfort zone that you're not stepping out? My prayer is that you ask God and you will know that today. Thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity to tell of your glory, the glory that belongs to you and you alone. And thank you that I can share with my brothers. And I pray that you empower them and speak to them. In Jesus' name, amen.